The scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 27th chapter, beginning with the 27th verse. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. These are your words, Heavenly Father. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Your word is truth. Amen. A few years ago in 2023, a BBC reporter from England managed to sneak into North Korea, which is a closed communist society, managed to sneak in, and while in the country, interviewed three different people that were willing to talk to him. Most would not. And they all told stories about just tremendous, horrible things going on. But one of the things they really mentioned was the lack of food among so many families. Each one of them reported families that they knew that had just died of starvation. This is just a few years ago. One of them said that during COVID, they were more afraid of dying of lack of food than they were of COVID. It's estimated by some that 40% of the population in North Korea is in danger of starvation. It's to such an extent that some have labeled it a humanitarian crisis. Meanwhile, the head of the country, Kim Jong-un in North Korea, is estimated to be worth $5 billion, has 200 foreign bank accounts, hundreds of luxury cars, has shown tremendous cruelty toward any rivals that come up against him, even in his own family. He's killed at least two or three in his own family. The Dutch customs stopped his personal train in Europe, and it was full of 90,000 bottles of top-shelf vodka. He has imposed what is called the three-generation rule, and what that means is if someone acts against his government or speaks against his government, he will be tortured or imprisoned for three generations in his family, whether they'd had anything to do with it or not. That's the kind of tight control that he has on the country and why there's such secrecy there. This is not unusual in history to find a ruler that is so viciously cruel and nasty and uses his authority in a way to benefit himself and certainly at times harm his people. Read about Ivan the Terrible in Russia, who even condemned a man to death by being eaten by dogs. King Christian II, the tyrant in Norway and Denmark, who likewise had 100 top officials executed, even though he had promised them amnesty. This goes on and on through the pages of history. And the longer someone possesses a position of power, the greater danger it is that they will use it totally for selfish purposes and very cruel purposes as well. And it exposes a flaw in each one of us as human beings. And that is that we have a strong streak of selfishness, self-centeredness inside of us. And it showed up when we were little kids, 2 years old. What's best for me? What can I get out of something? What's best for me? And in government, the more authority someone is given, and for the longer period of time, the higher degree of possibility there is that they will abuse that power. And it may also diminish their understandings of morality toward their fellow man. If you look at a typical news feed, or newspaper or magazine, whatever, that has news articles of present day, and just think in terms of selfishness, about 75% of them have to do at some place with someone being selfish. It's amazing how much that sin, that evil inside of us, comes out. Now, this is quite a different picture from the king that we see mentioned in our text. The king who is being described in our text, our Lord Jesus Christ, has quite a completely different way of operating. This true eternal king who has come down to earth from heaven, the very Son of God, has a completely different and opposite mindset from all of this. This is how St. Paul described him. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, think of what he possessed in heaven, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich, meaning someday going to heaven. So here is the one individual in all of history who has absolute power and authority and domination over all kingdoms, all the wealth of the world, all of humanity, as God himself, true God, and yet comes down in the form of a servant, a bondservant, and allows himself even here to be spit at and mocked and abused and ultimately taken off and crucified on a cross. There are times when we get humiliated in life. Maybe something happens to you that you feel you got kind of lowered down. There is nothing we can compare to think of God having this happen to him. Just think of that God himself comes into the world and gets treated like this by the very people he loves, the very people he creates, the very people that he feeds every day through all the different things that take place in nature. And yet, this is how the world ultimately treats him. And as the Bible teaches us, it was our sins as well that put him on the cross. And what kind of crown does this king get when the world treats him like this? A crown of thorns, of all things. But it doesn't change the motivation in the heart of this heavenly king. What is burning in his heart is you and me to have our sins paid for, and also to make sure that someday your grave wouldn't be the last place you get to live. He has come into this world to rescue you and me from all the powers of sin and evil and darkness and death. And that's what's on his mind, and that's what's on his heart. I love this passage in the Bible. It says, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Think of that. He didn't wait for us to do something to say, okay, I guess I should go help them. While we were in the midst of our wickedness and had nothing to offer him at all, Christ died for us, came into the world to have all of this happen to him so that our sins could be atoned for, could be washed away before the throne of God, so that we could be declared holy and righteous before God and by faith in Jesus possess that so we could go to heaven someday. I love that end of that passage. He says, he did all of this to bring us to God. That's what this selflessness of Jesus is about, to bring us to God, so that you someday could get to actually go and be with God in heaven someday. So consider the irony of the scene that's being described here. The Lord of all, who has all things under his feet, decides to come and get treated like this and abused like this in order for us to have such a tremendous future. This college exists to have us sit and learn about this wonderful king that we live under, his humble nature, his selfless nature, and to listen to the guidance that he gives us through his word. That's one of the reasons we have daily chapel every day. And we ask our students to take religion classes. It's to learn about this depth of love that the world just can't even comprehend. And to learn about how he came into this world to rescue us and to give us such an amazing future. And now to view ourselves and our lives as subjects to this king, as people that belong to him and are benefiting from these tremendous blessings that he comes to give us. The incident that I just read in our text takes place almost 2,000 years ago, but it has direct application to the lives of our students. It has direct application to the education that is done on this campus. And here's how. St. Paul says this, looking at the cross and what Christ did for us. He says to us in our lives as Christians, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So, whatever studies you plan to pursue in your future, whatever talents you hope to continue to develop and increase. And man, on this campus, we get to see some amazing things. It's really fun as professors, I'll tell you that. But whatever gifts that God has given you that you will be developing and learning more about, and as you head on deeper into adulthood, God would have us understand that however we utilize those things should ultimately be to serve our fellow man in the same way God has been so kind to serve us. And that is how the teachings of Christ matter to you and me, not just about getting to heaven someday. I hope and pray that's 80, 90 years away from you. I hope you get to live a long, long life on earth, but maybe not. But that would be a nice thing. But it actually also has a great implication for present-day life, that you and I can learn from the Word of God, this wonderful King of ours that we serve, as to how we can use our lives, my talents, my knowledge, my ability, in a way that will ultimately benefit other people. That's a wonderful blessing that we have here on this campus. And here's the last point I'd like to make. This King does not come to us demanding or forcing or threatening us in order to get this out of us. Not at all. He does the opposite. He just loves it out of us. He just, by what he's done for each one of us and the promise he's given us of the future, he just loves it out of us. The desire, the motivation in our hearts is not because of fear, the way maybe the people in North Korea bow to their dictator, but it's just the opposite. To think how tremendous this King is that we get to serve. So continue to be with him throughout your life. He truly is, as our choir is going to sing, the King of Love. Amen.